Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're joined by Walter Jacobson. Walter, filling in for John here every now and then for the past couple of weeks. It's been such a pleasure to get to chat with you and pick your brain. Thanks for, again, stopping on in here.
Well, thank you for asking me. I like chatting with you, too.
Every time we come on, my mother sends me a text, and she says, I cannot believe you're talking to the Walter Jacobson. So you got a big fan in Marsha, so there you go.
Hello, Marsha. Thank you.
There you go. Well, let's talk about what you got cooking, a story you've been working on, which if it's, you know, if your sources are true and this is something that is actively being discussed, this is big news.
Yeah, anything can change within 5 minutes.
Right.
But I've been told by sources close to Mayor Lightfoot that she is, in fact, considering declaring bankruptcy.
For the city?
Yes.
Not personally. Yes.
That would be next.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, that's a drastic, drastic step for her to take, and I know she wouldn't want to take it. Who would want to take it? It's probably the single worst thing a mayor or a governor or a president, well, not president, could do.
Right.
Declare bankruptcy. It puts the city and her in such a terrible hole.
Yeah, and it's almost admitting defeat at that point.
Well, it does, but it may be the only way out. This city is like $36 billion in debt and no way to get close to finding that kind of money with all kinds of just huge, amazingly big projects coming up that have to be paid for. You know, whether it's Lincoln Yards or whether it's investing in the neighborhoods that she's been talking about. Hugely expensive things at a time when the city's on edge because of all of the Alderman Burt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got to figure out a way. Her first budget's coming up right away. It's her next order of business after trying to stop the violence in the street. She's got to find some solutions, and maybe that's the only one.
We're kind of going down the Chicago River without an oar here, you and I. We're not financial experts, and we're not attorneys in that sense. I've done some limited reading about what that means for a city. It does not forgive the city of the debts. It has mandatory debts it would still have to pay off. But it's almost like a pause button, and it brings everyone to the table, creditors and who you owe and what you owe, and at least allows either payment plans or some way back. But it still holds you to have a balanced budget.
Yeah.
And while that may not seem so bad, Detroit did it. It took years to get out. I mean, they're still struggling with the ramifications of that.
Right.
I mean, I think it would be a huge wake-up call, if nothing else. Even if we don't do it, if Lori Lightfoot at any point comes to a podium in the next couple of days, weeks, or months and says, this might be something we have to do, I mean, this is going to send off a lot of alarm bells.
Oh, there's no question about that, John. She'll have to make promises when she goes into bankruptcy court, if she in fact does. Promises that she will do things that will be sure that the city doesn't go even a dollar more deeper into debt. And she'll have to cut back. First of all, before even cutting back, she will have to impose tax hikes.
Mm-hmm.
Property tax hikes.
Got to get that revenue in.
Have to. And she, because they'll stop the protection that she gets from bankruptcy if she doesn't follow through on some of the ideas, hers or the courts, to keep the city out of debt or get the city out of debt and then keep out of debt. And if she doesn't do that with any degree of success, they'll just take away those protections.
Yeah.
And then she's back where she started.
Boy, it has ramifications. Again, this is early stages of these discussions, I imagine.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have to keep an eye on it. But from a micro level, the taxes, from a macro level, businesses that consider moving to Chicago, that certainly plays a role in their decisions. And then you start to have this sort of snowballing effect of confidence in what your city's economic outlook is, which could drive you further in the red.
That's right. And she's got, you know, the bonds, the city bonds are still in junk categories.
Yeah. So, who's going to lend the city money if it's bankrupt?
Can you, right? Can you imagine what's on her plate? Boy, you have to feel sorry for her. And she seems absolutely tireless.
Yeah.
She goes to events all day long, all week long, and she's saying and making promises about how she's going to fix things. And many of those things that she's going to fix, they're going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah. She mentioned, I think this was still during the transition between Mayor Emanuel and when she took over, but maybe the seeds of what you're talking about here today, I could see being planted in that when Mayor Emanuel said that this budget currently had a $700 million shortfall. Her team immediately came out and said, no, it is way deeper than that. Right. So in showing that this may not necessarily be something she's come aware of as she's been mayor, but maybe something her and her team has been talking about for months.
Yeah, that's right. Could be. I don't know that.
Yeah, you're
and I don't know really to what degree she is serious. She may be considering every option possibly available to her, but I know that it's been on her list to talk about, and she'll have to make that decision soon.
Your sources that you've talked to, or the source that you've talked to, has there been any indication on the timing of when we might know more about this, or is it just something that's happening in private discussions right now?
The latter, for sure. John,
all
no
right.
timing. And they're making every effort to keep it out of the news because
yes.
they don't want people speculating about it. And my sources have made it very clear to me that this is purely speculative on her part,
mm-hmm.
as you just warned our listeners.
Right.
We can't spread the word because we don't know. I don't have any way to confirm it. It's a reasonable thing for her to think about.
I was going to say, I mean, I think maybe some people might be alarmist and say, I cannot believe this is even coming out of her mouth, that word, that dirty B-word of bankruptcy, but that's what an executive does. They've got to look at all options on the table and have frank discussions about them.
Yep.
All right, Walter, anything else to add to this conversation, or are you going to go back to work on the story?
How are we feeling about Burke now that he's actually been in, about to get tried? July 2nd, he may be starting the trial, and they've got now 14 counts against him.
How does he stay in office? How does he weather the storm? Or is it a matter of he just had re-election, got well over 60% of the vote, and you almost want, if I'm trying to put myself in those shoes, which is impossible, but you want the protections at least, or the pulpit, to be able to continue to try your case, not only in court, but amongst your constituents. If you lose that, now you're fully exposed.
Well, and you know, and it's hard to find anybody in local politics now who think that he's going to get away with it.
Yeah.
He's 75 years old. Maybe the court will be easier on him than on others who are younger and can withstand the punishment of prison. And, you know, so as you and I discussed the other day, you know, when you're in politics for 50 years in this town and you get to know these people a little bit more on the inside, you have to have a bit of a feeling of sympathy for him.
Yeah. I see your heart is warming. Not that you'd ever be the Grinch, Walter, but I see it's like in the movie where the heart grows three times as big. I mean, you've been covering politics here forever. Have you always had this softer side, or has it come about through years of experience? I mean, when you were at Channel 2, would you be saying, oh, poor Walter Berg? No.
That's a very good and very fair question. And my answer to it is, with age, I'm going to be 82 in a month.
Wow.
With age, you know, your senses get a little more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel for people you've been working with, or at least working around. You know, I've noticed a lot of the headlines in the newspapers this past week. They're really rough. They are written by younger people, perhaps. Younger people who are reporting for the newspapers,
mm-hmm.
who know only the bad about Burke. Then you get some of us crotchety old timers, crotchety in the past. No, I wouldn't have been this soft when I was at Channel 2.
So you could be sympathetic to the reporters that see a story and are barking as hard as they can at it.
Oh, absolutely. Since Watergate, when every reporter wants to be a Watergate kind of guy, catch them doing things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how we get our points.
But you obviously we're so happy to have you here and working at WGN, offering your perspective. I'm happy to work on. I work on more of a lifestyle show, but we still have a newsroom. We still chase things. Do you miss the everyday chase? that really grindy? I mean, you're still breaking news here, approaching your 82nd birthday. But do you miss the daily? Got to put that show on, no matter what.
No.
That show. No, you don't miss that.
I like the time to think a little bit more, look deeper into things, rather than run around trying to catch the latest fact at the latest minute. But you know, I loved it all. You know,
yeah.
This is a wonderful profession we're in, this journalism, and you know, there's so much going on in Washington. I'm watching Trump. I mean, there's nothing as interesting as what's going on with him.
Right.
That's going on in Chicago, so I don't miss the daily stuff.
Yeah. Walter, thanks for stopping by, as always.
John, thank you.